I'm going to have you take your Bible and let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter number 10. John's Gospel, chapter number 10. This is the time of year leading up to when we, along with many others, celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And the time, as the Apostle John records it, that the Word was made flesh in John 1:14 and dwelt among us. We're going to be dealing with a different passage here in John chapter number 10. Messiah's birth was the fulfillment of that which had been prophesied long ago by Isaiah and other of the Old Testament prophets. And Christmas is a special time for us because we needed a Savior, and God sent us His only begotten Son into the world to provide the one sacrifice that was needed. And we needed it, and that is what this time of year is all about to those of us who are saved. However, on Sunday at sundown began the Jewish celebration of Hanukkah that many Christians really know little or nothing about. Some folks say Christians have Christmas and Jews have Hanukkah. That's about all they know about Hanukkah. And so I kind of want to enlighten you tonight. Although it's overshadowed by Christmas, Hanukkah, which is also known as the Feast of Dedication and the Festival of Lights, it graphically illuminates the Messiah's life and ministry. Hanukkah is an 8-day celebration. We'll talk about why 8 days here in just a minute. But it begins each year on the 25th of the Jewish month, Kislev. Not the same as our calendar. Their calendar is a different calendar. And this usually falls in December. This year it began on 11/28, which was Sunday evening. At sundown is when it began, and it will go until Monday. As a festive holiday among the Jews, because it commemorates the bravery and resolution shown by the people of Israel in the revolt against their heathen oppressors. That revolt is known as the Maccabean Revolt against the Syrian Greeks in the period between the Testaments of 167 to 164 B.C. And although commonly known as the Festival of Lights, the word Hanukkah actually means dedication. That's what the word means, dedication. And that's because the Jews liberated the temple and they rededicated it to the service of God. Now, many Christians don't realize that we find this holiday in the Scriptures. Jesus was in Jerusalem at the temple, no doubt for the celebration of Hanukkah, as recorded in John chapter number 10. And let's read verses 22 through 24. And here we're going to see it's called the Feast of Dedication. Okay, that's what it's how it's referred to, and that's one of the names of it. Verse number 22, John 10:22, and it was at Jerusalem the Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Well, it was during this period of time, during Hanukkah, that Christ actually publicly revealed his messianic identity by proclaiming down in verse number 30 here, He said, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Now, let me give you the historical background of Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is the one Jewish holy day which originated in the period between the two Testaments. And the story is found in the apocryphal books. That's the ones that we don't look to as being Scripture. Nevertheless, they are writings, the Catholics look to them as being Scripture. But the books of 1st and 2nd Maccabees is where you'll find the story of it. But let me give you the rundown here. Alexander the Great, remember that name? Alexander the Great was a young, brilliant military commander who thought that the best way to unite his kingdom was to establish a common culture, a common language, and a common religion among all his conquered territories. Well, he died kind of young. And when Alexander the Great died in 323 B.C., his kingdom split into four pieces. If you remember when we studied the book of Daniel, those of you that was with us when we went through the book of Daniel, we talked about Alexander the Great and his reign and how that we did split into four. And you might remember the Seleucid dynasty we talked about. Maybe you remember, maybe you didn't. But then we talked about the Seleucid dynasty. They ruled the Syrian part of Alexander's kingdom, which included Israel in those days called Judea. Now, in 171 B.C., there's a ruler who ascended named Antiochus the Fourth. You might have heard him referred to as Antiochus Epiphanes. In fact, he also is prophesied in the book of Daniel. Let me turn there real quick and give you the verses. He was a forerunner of the Antichrist, okay? Part of Daniel chapter number 11 talks about Antiochus Epiphanes. Verses 21 through 33 deal with Antiochus Epiphanes. And then the verses number 36 through 45 deal with the Antichrist. Sometimes there is a dual prophecy. But we see Antiochus Epiphanes mentioned there, not by name, but that's who that is talking about. He's the one that fulfilled verses number 21 through 33 there of Daniel. Now, his name meant, Epiphanes means the manifest God. And his passionate goal was to unify his kingdom, including Judea, into one, I guess you would call it a monolithic Greek culture. He just wanted everything to be Greek, you know. And so there began to be a massive struggle between the cultures of Judaism and Hellenism. All right, Hellenism is the Greek, and Judaism, of course, Jewish. Antiochus believed that the Jewish religion was the main obstacle keeping the people from accepting Hellenism, and so he made the practice of Judaism a capital offense. You practice it, you die. And so he established ritual prostitution in the temple. He outlawed possession of the Hebrew Scriptures, and he executed whole families of Jews for observing the Sabbath and circumcision. There were a few families who circumcised their sons who were actually crucified with those babies hanging around their necks. Thousands more were martyred. In 167 B.C., Antiochus Epiphanes fulfilled a prediction made by the prophet Daniel. In Daniel 11 and verse number 31, he marched to Jerusalem, entered the temple, and ransacked it. He then set up an image of his God being Zeus, and then on the sacred temple altar, he sacrificed a pig. You know, that's very, very antagonistic toward everything Jewish. Well, in the Judean village of Modian, was 20 miles northwest of Jerusalem. Okay, 20 miles northwest. You know, to you it'd be that way. Okay, to me it's this way. There were soldiers who came and assembled all the people in Modian in the town square, and they built an altar and ordered the old priest by the name of Mattathias, okay? Mattathias to sacrifice a pig for the people to eat. Well, Mattathias refused, to defile himself or his people. The soldiers insisted, and they even offered great financial incentives. Finally, another man from the village volunteered to collaborate with the Syrian Greek soldiers. You know, when you offer a bunch of money, some people, money is their god. As the man approached the pig, Mattathias rushed forward and killed the guy. Assassinated him right there on the spot. The five sons of Mattathias drew their weapons, struck down the soldiers, and headed for the hills. You know, they got out of Dodge. Many fellow revolutionaries joined them, and so began a lopsided revolt against the mighty Syrian Greek Empire that went on for 3 years. Okay? The rebellion went on for 3 years. Soon thereafter, the leadership of the ragtag Jewish army passed to Mattathias' son. Judah was his son, and he was nicknamed the Hammer. In Hebrew, that is Maccabee. Okay, that's where you get 1st and 2nd Maccabees. And so thereafter, the revolutionaries were known as the Maccabees. Now, let's talk about the menorah of Hanukkah. After 3 years of Jewish guerrilla warfare, the band of rebels achieved victory. And on the 25th of the month, Kislev, in 164 B.C., exactly 3 years from Antiochus Epiphanes' abomination of desolation, the Maccabees triumphantly entered the defiled and half-demolished temple, and they began the process of rededicating the temple. I mean, it's been defiled. Before you can get it up and operational, everything's got to be rededicated. The flame of the temple menorah, and this is the, I know you're going to have a difficult time seeing it. This is the temple menorah. 7 candlesticks, right? There's 7. And, of course, the candlestick, these would be filled with olive oil. And the olive oil, they were supposed to make sure it stayed in there continually, that the flame did not go out. And you can find that very thing over in Exodus chapter number 27, verse 20 and 21. He was commanding that the lamp was supposed to burn always, is how it was put. In fact, there's a reference to it also in Samuel's day. And Samuel and Eli, ere the lamp of God went out, referring to they weren't to let the lamp go out. So you got the temple menorah, which is this great 7-branched candelabra. It was so central to the worship of Israel, but it had been extinguished by Antiochus Epiphanes. It was meant to be, and it was supposed to be, an undying eternal flame. It was representative of the Lord. And the Greeks had not only extinguished the flame, but they had desecrated nearly all of the sacred oil, the olive oil, that would go in there. That they only had enough, only one small container remained. One day supply. That's all it was. A one day supply. So they put it in there, lit it up, and it would take 8 days for the priest to consecrate more oil. Nevertheless, the Maccabees lit the menorah, and it burned for 1 day, and then a miracle occurred. The menorah kept burning the next day, and then kept burning for 8 full days. And that's why Hanukkah is an 8-day celebration. It was an 8-day miracle. Okay? Judah Maccabee declared that these events would be commemorated by an annual holiday, Hanukkah, or the Feast of Dedication. Understandably, the people also called it the Festival of Lights, or Hag HaYurim. That's my That's my pronunciation of the Hebrew. Hag HaYurim, Festival of Lights. Now, as the holiday became popular, a tradition of lighting miniature menorahs began with Jewish homes during the eight-day celebration. Now, these menorahs were different. This, seven candlesticks, right? This, you got nine. Well, what you got, you really got eight. And the one that's elevated in the center, we'll talk about it. It's really, Jesus is that center one. Because it's called the center candle that's known as the Shemash, a Hebrew word for servant, which is used to light the other candles as they're added each evening. So you had one candle for each evening of the holiday, four and four, eight. And so they would, that a ninth one was elevated in the center, but it was used to light the other candles. Make sense? Alright, now, in the modern observance of Hanukkah, is celebrated for 8 days in accordance with how long that 1 day's worth of oil burned in the menorah. And so the main focus is the lighting of a small menorah. They call that one with the elevated, they call it a Hanu... I can't say it. Hanukkiah. Okay. Hanukkiah. That's how I was going to pronounce it, and I forgot all about it. Hanukkiah. Each night. And they got a miniature one of the, each house has one of these. If they're celebrating Hanukkah, they have one of these in their home. Now, it's the candelabrum with the eight candle holders in a row and a ninth candle holder. It's set slightly higher than the others, and it's different from the menorah, which has the seven branches and was used in the temple before it was destroyed in 70 AD. So it's still a kind of a menorah, but also there are other parts of the celebration, and I like this part of the celebration. Okay. Typical foods include those made using oil. It's about the oil and about the light. Okay. Donuts. I like that. Donuts. Also, basically potato cakes. Just flat potato cakes. And the children receive gifts of gelt, which are chocolate coins. And we used to have these things. I didn't know that's what they called those things, but ours didn't have the menorah on them, but the coins, and you open that thing up and you've got chocolate inside. Remember those things? You go down to the store and get them? Yeah. But that's what it was. And then they would get that and they would play a game with a spinning top called a dreidel. You spin it. And they've got four letters. It's got four sides to it. And these are the four Hebrew letters, each standing for, and here's the Hebrew acronym, it stands for, a great miracle happened there, or if you're in Israel, they have the letter that says here, okay? If you're in the United States celebrating it, you got the letter that says there, speaking of Israel. But a great miracle happened there, or a great miracle happened here. Now, we're going to come back next week, Lord willing, and look at some more about Hanukkah. We're going to take a look at the undying flame. Jesus is the undying flame of Hanukkah. And we're going to take a look also at Hanukkah and how it relates to Jewish evangelism. Now, you'll notice on the back table back here, on the left, there are some Christmas tracts over to the right of that table. And there are some Jewish tracts over to the left. One set one way and the other set the other way, so you can't, and you can tell the difference. There's a tract back there on Hanukkah. Let me encourage you to take one of those and read that. And then, if you have a Jewish friend, you got some Jewish associates or whatever, there's some good material back there. that we have a lot of Jewish tracts that we don't keep out on the table just for lack of room. But if you have need of those, we could help you with that. But very interesting. What I find interesting is that the Lord was there at the temple during the time of the Festival of Lights. Amen. And He was the light. He is the light of the world. And that we sang, and what He shows later in the Scripture, He talks about being the light. He is the light of the world. And we'll take a look at all of that. Let's set that aside. That's my Bible study for this evening. And I encourage you to read Daniel chapter 11 also, so you can kind of understand there in Daniel 11, the part about Antiochus Epiphanes, verses 21 through 33. You can kind of see a little bit about what we've been talking about. All right. All right, let's pray for the needs here, and then we'll be dismissed with this prayer, okay?